Radio.com.
Each and every show, as you know, here on America Tonight, we feel very privileged to go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News, and Victoria Jones joins us right off the bat. I understand it's pretty rainy and foggy bottom and actually cold. So, Victoria, what'd you do, drink tea all day long?
No, I'm a coffee drinker, but I drink tea at night, but coffee during the day. Keep me going, keep me awake.
I like that coffee. Senator Dick Durbin comes out swinging big time over Bank of America. We've talked about this on America Tonight, of course, the fact that there was a huge headlines over the latest thing that they wanted to charge you for debit card usage. And, of course, everybody went crazy over that because that's more charges, fees on top of what's already out there. What did Durbin say?
Well, he and Representative Brad Miller of North Carolina, which is Bank of America's home state, are both going on the offensive. Dick Durbin is basically saying, my word to consumers across America is talk with your feet. Look for a debit card that doesn't charge the Bank of America fee. And he says it would be no surprise if we found out the Bank of America is overcharging consumers again. They've been found guilty of that in the past. So he's just saying change banks, basically. Representative Brad Miller is plans to introduce legislation to make it easy for you to switch banks and simultaneously swap your direct deposit, electronic bill pay, and other automatic features that at the moment is very difficult to do. They make it very hard for you to do that.
Oh, absolutely. And it becomes a nightmare, and it's for lack of a better way to describe it, it's like a lot of red tape, and it's your money. And trust me, I've been there as somebody who's moved around and whatnot and had to jump banks anyway. Wow, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with Miller and how that plays out and what the votes. You know, obviously, any legislation in this direction, I think, would be easier to push through whatever it is, symbolic, have teeth in it or not, don't you think? Because with Bank of America, when you're talking about more fees, even those who are backing big banks would be a little sheepish on this, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the banks are trying to say, look, you know, it's astounding that Senator Durbin, who created today's chaos, is now trying to point the finger at everyone but himself for the widely predicted consumer harm. That's what they're saying.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the veto power in the White House. They threatened to lay the hammer down on two pieces of legislation from the House, right?
Yeah. Now, they threatened last month, actually, to veto some legislation that would mandate new interagency economic analysis of EPA rules. But today they threatened to delay some key EPA rules, and they would prevent the EPA from moving ahead with long overdue requirements, the White House says, to reduce air pollution from industrial boilers, solid waste incinerators, and cement plants. And they say they would also weaken EPA's ability to ensure its standards protect American families from a range of harmful pollutants, including mercury and other toxic metals, as well as smog and soot. So they're threatening a veto.
Ooh, all right, so look out for that powerful veto. Let's talk about China and its currency, the yuan. Apparently there was something that you'll know better than me that came out of D.C. as far as punishing China for messing around with their currency. What's the scoop on that?
Well, this is kind of interesting because Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid scheduled a procedural vote on legislation to pressure the Chinese government to stop undervaluing its currency, which most economists agree is giving the country an unfair trade practice and is costing the U.S. jobs. But then there's the argument that if you actually really put pressure on them, are they somehow going to retaliate? Is there going to be a trade war? But anyway, he decided he wanted to move this legislation before he went for the American Jobs Act, the president's legislation, because he sees this as actually more important to senators who are up for re-election in Rust states, and he also said it's a big job getter. So he moved this legislation today. The Senate voted 79-19 to end debate on the motion. I know.
79-19?
Yes.
Wow, that's huge. Supreme Court.
It's going nowhere. It's not going to get brought up in the House. Eric Cantor says he won't bring it up.
All right, so that's going to be stymied. We move on to the Supreme Court, and is the Supreme Court, of course, most of the conversation is health care legislation. When is that going to be taken up? And is that going to happen in June? You know, obviously they're asked to review the challenge to the health care reform law. What's the latest on that, and what else is going on at the Supremes maybe worth mentioning?
Well, we don't know whether they're going to take it up. I mean, we imagine that they are because, you know, three appeals courts at least have all decided slightly different things. So it's the kind of thing they would take up. Also, the president's asked them to take it up. Well, there are some really interesting cases. And this year, they're moving away from more corporate cases and really looking at criminal justice, free speech, religious freedom, Fourth Amendment, First Amendment, that kind of stuff. Fascinating things. Such as the FCC. Does the First Amendment allow the government to regulate cursing and nudity on broadcast television? That case is coming up. Do the police need a warrant to attach a tracking device to a car and monitor its movements over several weeks?
Wow. There's some good stuff. Are you going to be over there covering some of this?
No, Jay will be there. Does the Fourth Amendment allow jails to conduct strip searches of all people detained for minor offenses without individualized suspicion?
I'm not ready for a strip search. Are you?
No. I'm not spitting on the sidewalk.
I'm not either. No way. Woo, so there is a lot actually coming down the pike.
Oh, that's some amazing stuff. There's extraordinary stuff. There's a great separation of church and state question. There's a death row inmate who missed his filing deadline, lost the chance to appeal because of a mix-up in a law firm's mailroom. He was blameless. So a court clerk received a court order marked return to sender, did nothing to set things right. So he missed his deadline to file. He's on death row. Court said, oh, too bad. So the Supreme Court's going to decide how many angels dance on the head of a pin and whether he gets his appeal because of a mix-up in the mailroom.
Oh, that's awful. That's the worst one I've heard yet. Oh, what do you think about that, America? Always interesting chatting with you, Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, coming up here on America Tonight. Oh, yes, our straw poll numbers are in. And thanks to all of you, so many, through the miracle of Pal Talk and Facebook and Twitter even, and, of course, the Internet, the website americatonight.net. You're sending in your thoughts on who should be president if the election were held in these next couple of weeks. We're in week two of our unofficial straw poll, because they're really all unscientific and unofficial, aren't they? So we decided we would do our own. So far, Herman Cain is leading the field, but only narrowly over Ron Paul. But we'll get to those numbers in a second. Is the president worried about a new poll that came out, an ABC News Washington Post poll, that disclosed 55% of us Americans now believe the Prez will be a one-term president. He did an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos in which he revealed that he is absolutely the underdog in the 2012 election. Do you think so? We're going to talk about it next. Throw in your 2 cents at 800-259-5791. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Once again, for my friends at Midas Resources, these are hard times for investors. You don't know which way to go. Is the market going to recover? Is the Washington spending machine going to continue? And that means a lot of debt and maybe printing money to cover the debt. They call it monetizing the debt, but that's a fancy way of saying inflation. And a lot of people are worried about that. So you need the ultimate inflation hedge, and that's gold. Now, let me be clear about this. Commodities fluctuate in price. They can go up and down. Very volatile. There's no guarantee. But if you want the ultimate inflation hedge, you need to talk to my friends at Midas Resources. The number, 1-800-686-2237. If you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to have it in your possession, call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. It's Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. And tell them Jason sent you.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Alli-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
It's one of those songs that makes your ego become even bigger, right? When you're the guy who's the leader of the free world. No, I'm just kidding. It just signifies, boom, bada bing, here's the president. There are a lot of people that would like to have that music trailing them into a room and out of a room. The guy who has it now is thinking or saying, maybe he's doing this on purpose to make sure voters get out for him. Shockingly, he said he's absolutely the underdog in the election, but he did say this, that he's confident he can win re-election. And that, again, is part of an ABC Washington Post poll that just came out, because it's a shocking number. 55% of Americans believe that Obama is going to be a one-termer, that he says he's the underdog. He's a one-termer. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie called him a bystander in the Oval Office. I love this one, a divider. And Obama was asked about that, and he decided he was going to take that bait. And he said, listen, this is a quote, if the guy's thinking of running for president, he's going to say a lot of stuff. And I think in Republican primaries, it's probably going to poll pretty well. I don't think the American people would dispute that at every step of the way, I have done everything I can to try to get the Republican Party to work with me on the biggest crisis of our lifetime. And each time, all we've gotten from them is no. So it's still the whole same thing, blame it on the Republicans. Do you think that's true? See, we have gridlock in Washington, and I say this all the time, and I've said it from the time I jumped on the air. I truly believe we need... certainly we need as many term limits as possible, but we need a third party. We need a third party. It is gridlock. That's what it is. It's part of the political machine. The political machine that is holding us back. But when there is confusion over how you create jobs, you don't create jobs by giving all the jobs to everyone you can think of overseas and make it an easy, a pathway. Oh, less taxes? Let's go to China. Hey, Brazil, you're looking good. Emerging economies. Not good. Some business, some trade, of course, but now just giving away these jobs. But that's an old story. Outsourcing, we know that. It's old. Something has to change. So if you had to vote in the next couple of weeks, no time for that so-called third party, really. You had to vote in the next couple of weeks. Who or whom would you vote for? My latest numbers show this, because many of you are starting to weigh in on it. And please continue to do that, because I want to see the numbers that we get, the graphs that we end up getting. Right now, Herman Cain is in the lead. He's getting a lot of pub lately all over the place. 17 votes for Cain. Ron Paul, though, a very close second, especially with what he has to say about our monetary woes, because he said them for a very long time. 16 for him. Rick Perry, the Tea Party darling, sort of, 10 points for him. Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, of course, Perry, the current governor of Texas, Romney gets 9 votes. And how about this? Michelle Bachmann suddenly jumped up. I got this one from Irv, who says, what do all of you have against a woman becoming president? Michelle Bachmann all the way. I don't care if she butchers history or not. Ooh. He might be confusing Sarah Palin a little bit, although Bachmann did get caught up in that, too. So 9 votes from this audience for her. And guess what? Nothing else for anybody else. John Huntsman is there. Newt Gingrich certainly also is still in the running. We'll see what happens if Governor Chris Christie jumps in. And there's a slew of other candidates who don't even show up in this. So when you hear Hail to the Chief, you know what we're talking about. Who would you put in there? I think it's interesting, but I think it's positioning from President Bush when he says he's the underdog. And you know why? I think it's a stroke of David Axelrod brilliance. This is the guy whose only objective is to get Obama to a second term. America loves an underdog. I confess, I love an underdog. In sports, in anything, we love those stories. So if he can portray himself as the beaten down current president, and hey, it's not my fault, look at these Republicans. I try to throw up a jobs bill. They just stop everything. They stop everything that we throw at them. We're trying to work together. And I think Americans realize I'm trying to do that. So there's a definite theme emerging. It's going to be pound the Republicans, say that I've tried, I've opened the doors of the White House. I'm begging for cooperation and bipartisanship between the two parties, because then we could get more done. And I'll tell you, I mean, this is pretty smart on his part. It is. Because of what I just said. Making people think that he's the underdog, so they have to go. If somebody would normally vote for Obama or is a lifelong Democrat, or maybe is an independent that kind of swings on the Democratic side of things, make them think this guy really needs the votes. Don't believe that it's a shoo-in, because usually the incumbent has an easier time. And, of course, now he's being aggressive and being very much on the offense in what he's doing when he's out there speaking and talking about what ails us, the economy. But is he really going to win over any fans who weren't in his corner no matter what? I mean, there's people flat out who will vote party on party no matter what happens. And I think the prime target for this president will be the House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, because Cantor does lob out some raw meat to him when he says things like what he needs to do is tell us exactly what he's for, is what the president is saying. What I think the American people can't abide by is doing nothing, because Cantor is always the blockade. And so that's what's going to happen. It's always going to be Cantor, the Republicans. So the bottom line is, maybe America tonight, folks, the ones who have – certainly expressed how they feel about who should be president. Maybe you're right on track with the rest of the country because of where these votes are falling. And so far, nobody for Obama. I always say, if you're left of left, right of right, confused in between, just sick of it all, you're invited to this party. This is a conversation on the overnight highway, and you are not shut out of it. I don't care what your stripes are. The digits, 800-259-5791. 55% of Americans saying Obama is a one-term president. Wow. I'm surprised because I don't think he's an underdog. I don't. And I don't believe that he really believes that he's a one-term president. But if it's what the message is, right? So that's what the message is. I could be a one-term president. Oh, it's not my fault. All right, I want to swing from politics for a second because this story was just too big to ignore. Amanda Knox, many of you also emailed me about this. You must be watching a lot of that NBC TV. I think they've covered this story the most. Of course, all the networks have covered it. You know, you have this pretty American girl who goes to Italy on an internship, falls in love with some Italian guy. Next thing you know, she's in jail for the murder of a British roommate. She left an Italian prison. Her murder conviction, after 4 years she's been in prison, her murder conviction was overturned. How about that? She leaves for the U.S., probably getting ready to right now, Tuesday. Lots of reaction to Amanda Knox. Take a listen.
It's hard to believe it. 4 years this has taken, 4 years of these two young people's lives. They were absolutely innocent on day one, day two, all the way through.
We were free to trust that right action happened, justice, right action.
Everybody who cares for justice and truth really has to be celebrating right now.
Yeah, so was justice served or not in the Amanda Knox case? If I were her, I would get out of there as soon as I could, and I don't know that I would ever go back again. Hey, coming up next on America Tonight, we're going to talk to Dr. John Fonte. He has a book out called Sovereignty or Submission, and this book is interesting because it talks about what's going on globally and what is the fate of the United States. Are we going to control our own fate or let somebody else control it for us? And Fonte, Dr. Fonte, is a United Nations and foreign policy expert. He's going to talk about what's going on with Israel and the licks Israel is taking from some of the media over the refusal to help the Palestinians with statehood, or is it the other way around? That's next on ATN.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S., unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by The Las Vegas. the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Las Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by the Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. This girl,
why don't want me to... On 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Now available at Amazon.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tattler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tattler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tattler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Tonight, so we've been talking a lot about what's going on with Israel and what's going on with the Palestinians. And of course, as you know, Israel accepted the diplomatic quartet's offer to actually start this thing up, start these negotiations with the Palestinians. But the Palestinian Authority said no, thank you. So now there's all kinds of controversy flying around, certainly in the halls of the United Nations, because, as you know, the Palestinians want statehood. So we feel pleased to welcome to the show John Fonte from the Hudson Institute. He's a United Nations and foreign policy expert. He also, by the way, has a new book out, too, in talking about all the stuff that we're talking about, Sovereignty or Submission. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kate.
You know, just let's first tackle that issue. What do you make of that? I mean, what's wrong with what's happening here with Israel and the Palestinians, and how do you view this? What's your long view on all of this?
Well, what's wrong is basically the Palestinians have been offered a state three times, going back to the Camp David talks, and then again in 2002, and then again in 2008 with Omar. They were offered about 99% of what they want. They were offered all of the West Bank, Gaza, plus East Jerusalem, the Muslim parts of Jerusalem. So essentially, they were offered a state. They turned it down because they do not want to recognize a Jewish state, an Israeli state. So in other words, they could have their state as long as Israel too would exist, but that's been their refusal. So I mean, this has happened three times. There really isn't too much to negotiate at this point. And of course, there's the question of the two wings of the Palestinian Authority, Fatah with Abbas in, on the West Bank, and Hamas in Gaza. But even when they were united, they had this offer basically a couple of times, and they've never accepted the right of Israel to exist. So that's at the core of the whole argument.
And you, as you said, so well, the two factions, Fatah and Hamas, For people listening, because people that listen to America Tonight are trying to wrap their arms around this of, you know, we can't help but we're Americans. Who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? What we've seen with sleeper cells and terrorism and things that are happening in the Middle East and whatnot, and trying to connect the dots. Tell us about both sides of that. Hamas, for example. What do you make of Hamas? In other words, you're schooled in this.
Groups, neither group is recognized Israel's right to exist. Hamas, you might say, is worse, if you want to call it that. They're supported directly by Iran, and they're even more extreme. They did essentially win when they had elections in the Gaza Strip. They won it, and they drove the Fatah officials out, and they're a little more fanatical, religiously, sort of an extreme Muslim group where, is Hamas. They say they are backed by Iran, where, Fatah is more secular. However, Fatah has also refused to recognize Israel's right to exist. So, that's the situation. One is, you know, a D minus and one is an F minus.
I like the way you put that.
That's the difference. There are a few reasonable people in the Palestinian Authority, but not too many, and not the leadership in the West Bank, but not too many. I mean, but the issue is they basically do not recognize Israel's right to exist. So, I mean, they would like a state, but they would like the whole territory with no Jewish state. In fact, with Jews or Christians basically not living in the area. This is essentially, they see Israel as a Western enclave in the Muslim Middle East, just as the Crusaders, you might say, were a Western enclave when Richard the Lionhearted and the French king arrived in Jerusalem, captured Jerusalem, and reinforced it, and then, you know, went back in the Middle Ages in the 11th, 12th, 13th century. There were the Christian kingdom, Crusader kingdoms of in the Holy Land, and they were driven out, and this has been basically considered Muslim territory. So the Jewish state is considered essentially an enclave, like it doesn't belong there. And so they are trying to drive it into the sea to drive it out. It's been there for since 1948. Now, they figure the Crusaders lasted a couple hundred years, and they were driven out, and they, you know, haven't been back in 700 or 800 years. So they do look at the long view, and they have figured eventually they will drive Israel out, and there will not be a Jewish state in 100, mm-hmm. 200, they think long range, 100, 200, 300 years from now. It'll be once again a Muslim land.
Yeah.
So that's really the bottom line on it, that willing to accept a Western enclave in that area.
So the president, of course, has been really pushing for peace between the two, and really Israel, I think, has bent over backwards to try to accommodate that at moments, right? So how does this, where does the president's ideals fall into place with all of this? Because now you have Leon Panetta, for example, saying, listen, we got to protect Israel at all costs. What are we doing here? All that kind of stuff. And so now you would have to say, with the president spending so much time on working with Israel, pushing Israel to try to do what he can to accommodate what they can to accommodate the Palestinians' cause, how does this blow back on the president with Israel?
Well, he's been basically wasting his time for a couple of years and barking up the wrong tree coming to put pressure on him. Essentially, they've given, you know, they've done just about everything they can do. But he wanted to, the president, I think, wanted to appeal to the Europeans and show he was making an effort. So there really isn't, it's been a failed policy. And we've had 2 or 3 years, and there's really nothing at this point he could do. And he might be forced into a veto of a Palestinian state if it ever comes to the Security Council. So that's embarrassing. This is something he was trying to avoid. When he first became president, he went to Cairo.
Right.
So we're going to reset relations with the Arab world, with the Muslim world, rather, and even said things like Muslims were at the heart of America when it was founded, which is, you know, simply not true. Doing all this to attempt to appease the Islamic world, and it, of course, it hasn't worked, because essentially they don't want a Western state or Westerners or Jews or Christians to be having a state in the Middle East. I go through some of this, the whole Gaza situation and the, you know, the Goldstone Report and all those issues in my book, Sovereignty or Submission, and did I want to mention probably the best place to get it is on Amazon. That's because I don't know if it's in every bookstore. Did want to point that out as well. But I think the president's policy has failed, and it's not going to work. I mean, they can talk to their blue in the face, but the situation is not going to be resolved this way.
See, do you think there's misconceptions out there that, hey, this is Israel? You know, Israel it's their fault. They're freezing out the West Bank. Why aren't they doing this? Isn't it their fault that they're not getting back to the table? I mean, that's what you read, that Israel is stubborn and it's Israel's fault. I can't tell you how many times I've read that in the New York Times.
That's right. And that's what many of the Europeans are saying. That's what the UN is saying. And the president has put the blame on Israel in a sense, at least indirectly. And of course he snubbed the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu a little while back when Netanyahu was visiting Washington, and the pressure has been on Israel instead of on the Palestinians. They could simply say, look, you got 99% of what you wanted. What's the matter with it? All you have to say is Israel is not going to be, we're not going to try to drive them to the sea. We're going to recognize Israel, the existence of the state of Israel as a Jewish state. And they refuse to do that, absolutely. And, of course, they can't have the right of return, which would mean all the Palestinians that left in 1948 would come back and essentially swamp the state. In that case, Israel would also cease to exist. So he's sort of in a cul-de-sac with no way of getting out. And with an election coming up now, he has changed his tune somewhat. So I don't think anything is going to be happening before, you know, this coming year. If he's reelected, he may try to start the process again and put pressure on Israel again. But he's not going to do it in the coming year.
Yeah. As John mentioned, the book is Sovereignty or Submission. I got to ask you about this one. Libya. What was the play in Libya? And now we see Muammar Gaddafi can't even find him.
Right. He can't find him. We don't know who was going to take over. And well, the president said this is leading from behind, which, of course, that's not the way America usually leads. But he said, we're going to let the Europeans, the British and French do this, lead from behind, supply some planes, and with no clear plane. But the worst thing about Libyan adventure was going to the United States. If he went to the Congress, explained what he wanted to do, he may have received some support. But he went to the Arab League before he went to the Congress of the United States. That's what has upset many congressmen, and that's, of course, not what the Constitution says. It says Congress has the right to declare war, and these type of policies will be decided by Congress, not by the Arab League. The last time I read the Constitution, the feeling of the Arab League or the United Nations was not in the Constitution of the United States.
I'm so glad you said that. You are absolutely right. And that's one of the things, and you talk about this in the book, about, I love the tagline, of course, will Americans rule themselves or be ruled by others? And that's the concern, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Ruled by the United Nations or the Arab League or somebody else. People that we did not elect and are not accountable to.
Yeah.
Wow. So the president has gotten it wrong on both Libya and in the Middle East and Israel.
Yeah.
At least in who determines it and who sets American policy.
Yeah, I agree with that. John, we're out of time, but terrific stuff. Read the book, Sovereignty or Submission. It's everything that we talk about here on America Tonight. Can we have you back on the show again?
Sure. Love to come back.
All right. Absolutely. Thank you once again. Appreciate it.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use EscapeHarassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
With me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all the nooks and crannies in between. Well, I went to school at Ohio University, and I'm telling you, got to be 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, we would eat anything we could find. Of course, we had a thing about veggie burritos, because there was a guy that had this stand, a rolling stand, and we loved the veggie burrito, man. I don't know why. There was something in the sauce or whatever it was. Or we were just dying because we were coming from uptown. Not sure. But somebody I think who can relate to it in a different way is Sean Greenberg. And he is the subject of It's Your Business this week here on America Tonight. He's the owner of a chain of restaurants called Pluckers, although they don't treat them like chains. And this is the coolest thing. I love the name Pluckers. It's chicken wings. So I heard, somebody told me, Sean, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Somebody told me that you and your buddy were dying for some chicken wings, and you thought you were going to school in Austin, you're going to the University of Texas, and you couldn't find good chicken wings anywhere. And that was what kind of led ultimately to you starting Pluckers. Is that right?
That's pretty much it. We, my brother and my other partner and myself were at UT, and all throughout our college years, there's nothing to eat except pizza and Chinese food delivered late night to your dorms or otherwise. And when you had an inkling at 2 o'clock in the morning, you couldn't get anything but those two items. And my partner David actually was from Atlanta, and he said, "Well, we have all these chicken wing places here. You know, let's try it." And so we all are from the Southeast, and we love good food, and so we started messing around with chicken wings and frying them up at, you know, fraternity functions and campus events. And as soon as we got out of college, we snagged a little old Mediterranean restaurant that had gone out of business and turned it into the first Pluckers.
Now, so and you started that, what, in the 90s, right?
Yeah, that was in 1995, and originally we were originally just a takeout and delivery restaurant, but over the years it's progressed quite a bit.
Did it take off right away? I mean, did you just spread the word through all your buddies, to everybody you knew? Did you just tell everybody, try to come up with, you know, half off or a dollar off or whatever? I mean, how do you get your college friends to come in?
Sort of. We recruited quite a bit of people that we were friends with to help. You know, we had just gotten out of college, and in Austin, for, you know, parties and things, you build these structures that serve as bars and what have you. So we sort of recruited some of our friends, and everybody helped in the process of building out our restaurant because we could barely rub two nickels together. And we just, you know, we reached out to all the people we knew. Unfortunately, it took, I think, 22 minutes for us to make our first chicken sandwich. So there are a couple bumps along the way, but I'm proud to say the restaurant was profitable the first year. But, you know, I think 20-hour days and, you know, 120-hour work weeks probably contributed to that. But, we did whatever it took. A lot of just handing things out door to door and putting, you know, and really just going out and word of mouth. You know, we didn't have a marketing budget, so you just got out there. And over time, it progressed outside of just our friends and gradually started to catch on.
Yeah. And, you know, the name is so clever, Pluckers. Do you get the credit for that? Was it a wild brainstorming session? Because that's a great brand.
Yeah, that's another funny story. You know, if you were to ask, I think both my mother and my brother and I's partner, David's mother, would both claim that they were the ones who actually came up with the name Pluckers. We messed around with a lot of different names, Pluckers, Pluck You, Cluckers, there are a lot of different things. And we settled on Pluckers, and truth be told, we all sit around and we don't really know who is actually responsible for, you know, finalizing the name Pluckers or coining it. But if you were to ask, both of our parents would lay claim for it.
So you're kind of just winging it, so to speak, right?
We are. We are. I think our motto on the back of our menu says "On a Wing and a Prayer," and it tells the story about us. And really, you know, that the story is the truth. And you know, over time, we've built it up to be a lot more than a delivery. You know, the irony of it all is we don't even deliver it at any of our new restaurants. We everything we make is fresh from scratch, and we sometime along the way we realized that the product that we were putting out wasn't in line with sort of the perception that people had of delivered food and of chicken wings. And you know, we started this when wings really were not, as they in the restaurant business as they call it, center of the plate type of item. And really, I think we were part of the sort of movement that move wings into something that people get and view as a meal. And now, you know, the restaurants are large, and we've integrated sort of a sports bar element into it. But really, at the end of the day, it's our food, and our food is what sort of propelled us early on. If it was good, it had to be really good to taste good delivered. And so, you know, it was twice as good when you came in. And over time, we realized, well, you know, enough of this delivery stuff. Let's keep it in the restaurant, and over time expanded the restaurants and added waiters and waitresses. And today it's a full service sit down restaurant.
How many restaurants, you know, you grew from this idea, and you explained all of that to us. And now, as you said, the sports bar bigger, everything certainly still goes back to the emphasis on the food because you want people to come in for the food, but you've been able to grow up around it. How many restaurants do you have now, and what are you hoping, you know, what's your ultimate business goal, I guess?
Well, this past week we opened our 13th restaurant in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and the original restaurant, to give you some scale, started at 1,300 square feet in size. And today, our restaurants are typically somewhere between 6,500 and 8,000 square feet in size. And that doesn't include their outdoor spaces. So it has grown quite a bit. As far as long-term growth, I think, you know, for us, we sit down and we talk about this a lot. We are very focused on not becoming, my brother and I are from New Orleans. My partner's a bit of a foodie. We like good food, and we're really focused on not turning in to what we view chains to be, where you go and you get, you know, really just, you know, sort of bland food and a bland atmosphere, you know, with bland service and everything else. And so instead of going towards 13 elements of flair or anything like that, we've tried to just organically grow it. And our goals are just to open, you know, 3 or 4 restaurants a year and do what's comfortable to us. And, you know, as long as we're still enjoying what we're doing, I think, you know, we have no plans to really take over the nation or try and, you know, ramp up and open 500 of these or compete with Buffalo Wild Wings or anything like that. Our goal is to just grow really, you know, good restaurants and have it be something that in every community that we're in, people that their friends come in town or what have you, they say, hey, I want to take you to my favorite place in town, and that's Flutters. And, you know, really, if we can stay in that little segment, that means we're doing our jobs.
Yeah, there you go. When you first went to UT, I mean, here you are at a big college, people around America listening, not just in Texas, certainly know the University of Texas. They've heard of the athletic programs for sure, and some of the others. Exactly. Yeah, imagine that. But what was your goal? What was your academic goal, or I guess, what did you want to be when you grew up, when you went into school?
Well, I went to school. I was a finance major in the business school, and my two partners, my brother and my other partner, were advertising majors. I actually continued and got my law degree amidst sort of all this foolishness. But I think we all always knew we're not real good at working for people and never really understood sort of the confines of, you know, the way sort of school, especially large school, the way you get trained to sort of go start a job. And, you know, we were doers and we've always been doers. And, I think the truth of the matter is we were too young and stupid and naive to know any better. We just went out and did it. And, and here we are today. I don't know that, you know, we thought that far ahead, to be honest with you. It just seemed right at the time.
What would you tell people who, because now we're, really, this is a time to start a business for a lot of would-be entrepreneurs. And you said it, you didn't want to work for anybody else. You knew you weren't really those guys. What would you tell somebody who was kind of afraid to step out? What would you tell them to do? Because you took that leap. How would you tell them to do it?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you just can't be afraid. I think fear prevents people from doing a lot of things, and I think it prevents a lot of really great businesses from happening. I think if you're you know, as long as you're passionate about something and you're willing to put in the work, because Lord knows there's going to be a lot of it, I say, you know, you just got to be willing to go for it and throw caution to the wind. And 9 times out of 10, I think that'll work out well. But, you know, I do think there is that element of drive. You know, the three of us are exceedingly competitive individuals, and, you know, you have to want to win. And if you're sitting there and you're upset about what you're seeing in something you're doing, or you're watching something and you're saying, yeah, it could be done better, go out and do it. Don't talk about it. You know, go out and do it. And if you jump into it, it 9 times out of 10, you'll figure it out because you'll be forced to.
Yeah, I so agree with you. Well, continued success, Pluckers. Awesome chicken wings, by the way. I had some last week. Sean Greenberg, one of the owners of Pluckers. Loved the story. Thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thanks so much for having me.